this is Duxy, guitarist with the Pieces of Mind. It's January 1966 in Newport. Work is well underway on the Bryngelas tunnels. The Severn Bridge is 9 months away from being opened, and we were about to support a London band called The Who at Coediva Community College in Cwmbran. The gig on the 31st of January was yet another of the many promotions of Maurice White from the Music Centre in Skinner Street. We had already played a few gigs for Mo at Coediva, supporting bands such as the Mojos and Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. The Who were originally due to play in a youth centre in Newport, but it was changed, probably because Mo White thought the Newport venue to be too small. The Who concert file by Joe McMichael and Irish Jack Lyons still mistakenly shows the venue as Newport. It wasn't, as I was there on stage at Coediva with the Pieces of Mind as a support act. By 1966, we were down to a four-piece of Adrian, Percy, Phil, may he rest in peace, and myself. I can't remember much of the gig other than we played My Generation, just as members of The Who arrived at the side of the stage. They probably thought we were extremely cheeky to do this, but it was something we did quite often when supporting name groups. Obviously, when they played it, our version was made to look quite amateurish, despite a fabulous bass solo from Percy. When we finished our set and went backstage to the dressing area, which was the gym, The Who seemed to be entertaining numerous girls, many of them within the toilets at the end of the room. Mo White had a load of the My Generation album covers and arranged for the group to sign the backs so he could sell for 10 bob, which was a lot of money. In fact, just less than the ticket price of 12 and a tanner. My girlfriend Jackie, who came with me, managed to get one, and that's the only memento I had of the gig, although I recently sold it to a collector. Adrian and John Beardmore both had posters signed. However, John gave his to Will Lowe, so it's somewhere in Australia. Adrian brought his copy across from Spain in June 2013, and John got it copied, so at least I now have a poster. Many of those who attended our 50th anniversary reunion gig in 2013 also attended the Who gig in 1966, and I heard lots of stories about it. Jerry, the 14-year-old younger brother of our drummer Phil, was in the gym and managed to speak to all four of the group, who he said were very friendly. Susan Smith and her friends caught a bus from Newport to Cwmbran, and once they got into the hall, they congregated to the left of the stage and then made a beeline for the centre, when The Who came on. Pete Townsend threw out a guitar string and a plectrum, which was supposedly caught by her group, though none of them remember who had them or where they are now. At one stage during the evening, a fight broke out, which included a boy they knew from Cwmbran, who was a few years older than them. They missed the bus home and ended up having to walk all the way back to Newport, and she was sure they didn't tell their parents that. For those who don't know the area, that must have been 6 to 8 miles, depending on where in Newport they lived. Jeff Cartwright worked in a factory in Killeen called Braids, who made garden tools for Spear and Jackson. It was his first job after leaving school. At the time of the concert, he was friendly with a person who played for a local band and who also worked with him in Braids. His friend mentioned that if you joined the local weightlifting class, there was a good chance of being asked to assist with crowd control. Jeff weighed about 11 stone soaking wet, and because he was a rugby player, he joined. His friend and he were picked and both went to the gig. The actual evening was a bit of a blur for him, as they were positioned right in front of the stage. He said whilst they had the best view, they were supposed to be looking out to the audience. However, his outstanding memories were of Keith Moon smashing his drums up and throwing them about the stage, and Pete Townsend wrecking his guitar by banging it against the stage floor. He said the girls in the audience were going mad, and he had never experienced anything like it. Afterwards, they were guarding the dressing room, and Keith came out in a fur coat and was quite chatty. Jeff said for a 17-year-old who has been very lucky in life, it was certainly one night he will never forget, and was his first and last time as a bouncer. His children have difficulty believing that the Who would have played in such a small place as Cwmbran. After the Who gig, I decided that Andy, who had rejoined on bass when Percy left, and I should have speaker cabinets look more impressive than the ones we were using. I still had a Vox AC30 and I think Andy had a Selmer bass amp. We went to a hardware shop and bought several sheets of 8x4 chipboard in order to make a couple of cabinets to house Fane speakers we bought from Charlie Marks. Today, Fane speakers seem to have acquired almost a cult status among guitarists, but to be honest, in the 60s, we bought them because they were cheap, not for any supposed tonal qualities. I read similar stories raving about equipment we used back then. Watkins Dominators were not great amps. In my opinion, they sounded awful, but because they had a funny shape and colour, people seem to think they must have been great. Modern guitars and amplifiers are far better made than those we had access to. Would I like to still have the guitars and amplifiers I used in the 60s? Of course I would, but it would be for sentimental or monetary reasons, not for how well they sounded or played. Anyway, back to building cabinets. Glyn remembers them as being 6 foot tall, but I believe they were 8 foot, purely because it would have saved us cutting the chipboard. The first versions were 8 foot tall, 4 foot wide, and 2 foot deep, and contained 4 speakers in each cabinet. They were certainly heavy and a pain to transport as they nearly filled our van. We tried fitting casters, but they kept breaking off, so we cut the cabinets in half, probably horizontally, however it could have been vertically. In the end, I sort of gave in and agreed that we should go back to more manageable cabinets. So was this gig special at the time? To be honest, to me it wasn't. Yes, it did influence our playing as a four-piece, particularly with using larger cabinets, but it's only time that has shown what an achievement it was. This was hammered home to me when Rod Gilbert mentioned it after a clip of us was used on the Graham Norton show in June 2016. So thanks, Mo. We will always remember you.